Do sit down. So we're going to move on now to our talk where we're thinking today about the Bible. And this is the fifth in our series of sermons on our nine values. I don't know if any of you know what the nine values are yet. Worship, prayer, love, the Bible, the gospel, people, developing leaders and discipling, mission and the Holy Spirit. And these came out of a period of time seeking God for the vision he'd like us, Pip and Jim's church, to pursue, a vision for everyone in our church to live out. So the whole church asked God for dreams and words, and then a group spent time looking at them and praying over them to see what God was saying, until we reached the hopefully memorable vision of, do anyone know what it is? Yeah. Encounter, grow and go, indeed. Encounter God, grow in faith and go out and share that faith with others. And the nine values are to help us to do that. And today we're looking at the Bible. We believe it's God's word that reveals his character and how to live in right relationship with him and his world. I wonder, how well do you know the Bible? Have you ever read it all? What impact has it had on your life? Are there parts that bring you great joy and parts that truthfully, honestly, you find a bit tedious? Or maybe parts you find difficult to understand or to stomach? Or have you never read any of it? Is it one of your personal values to find out more about God from his word and to let the relationship with him affect how you live every day? So let's look more at the Bible together now. What's in it? Why should we value it and take time to read it and study it? To begin with, the word Bible comes from a Greek word, ta biblia, which simply means the books. And it's maybe traced back to a Phoenician port city from which papyrus, which used to be used in writing, was exported and which was known as Bublos. So the Bible isn't just one book, it's a whole collection of 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. A collection, the canon as it's called, that was agreed after some considerable dispute by church councils at Hippo and Carthage around 400 AD. So we have the Old and the New Testament, a testament being an alliance, an agreement, a covenant that's established between God and his world. So the Bible includes a variety of styles of writing. It's got history books, it's got prophetic books, it's got books of wisdom such as Proverbs with its pithy sayings. It's got poems and songs such as the Psalms, we've heard a few Psalms today, full of honest and open talks with God. They might be cries of pain and distress, they might be songs of joy and encouragement and praise. And we've got the Gospels and the Epistles, the letters to the church in the New Testament. So the Bible tells the story of God and his relationship with his world and especially with his people. The Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, describes the relationship between God and his chosen people, the Jews, Israel. The Bible begins in Genesis, which means beginning. And its opening verse starts, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And after that, there's a poetic account of how God created the heavens and earth. And it goes on through stories of characters and events. You might know them, Adam, Eve, Cain and Abel, Noah building the ark and saving people and animals through the flood, the patriarchs, as they're called, the fathers of the Jewish nation, and Abraham, the father of them all, called by God to leave his country, his people, his father's household, and go where God would show him. And promised that God would make him a great nation and bless him and make his name great and that he would be a blessing and that all peoples on earth would be blessed through him. And then the other patriarchs, Isaac and Jacob, who was later called Israel and who the whole Israel nation is named after. And Jacob's 12 sons, you may remember some of them, particularly Joseph with his coat of many colours, who due to his brother's jealousy gets shipped off to slavery in Egypt, but rises to become Pharaoh's right-hand man and is used by God to save Egypt and the people of Israel from famine. Then Moses, whose own life is saved when he's hidden in the bulrushes because Pharaoh's trying to kill all the Hebrew baby boys. And Moses goes on to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land of Israel. On the way, they get the laws, the Ten Commandments, and a lot of other instruction that they're to live by. And then we have the great kings, the kings of Israel and Judah, like David, who we've heard about today, who wrote many of the Psalms. And the incredible prophets like Elijah and Elisha, who call down fire and heal people and do amazing things in God's name. So many stories, so many characters, good and bad. And God's word, God's written laws are meant to be precious to his people because God's chosen them to make himself known to the world. He's hoping they're going to be devoted to him and in constant communication with him and kind and just and merciful to their fellow human beings. And so Pam read to us from Deuteronomy, these commandments I give you today are meant to be on your hearts, impress them on your children, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you stand up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses. They're supposed to be well known. The Bible's meant to be well known. And as Psalm 1 says, blessed is the one who doesn't walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the company of mockers, but who delights in the law of the Lord, who meditates on it day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf doesn't wither. Whatever they do prospers. And the longest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 119, says a lot about delighting in God's word and his law. It says it's more precious than gold. It's sweeter than honey. It revives us, and in keeping it, there's great reward. It's perfect and trustworthy and gives wisdom and joy. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So the Israelites were set apart to be a people that lived in God's ways, to keep his word, to bring glory to God, to bless his world. But sadly, they do not succeed. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So some of the kings and the prophets try and bring the people back to God. The prophets constantly warn the people their wrongs will lead to their downfall. Ultimately, they do indeed, and they are taken into exile, first by the Assyrians and then the Babylonians, and their promised land is left desolate. And I'm sure they felt far from God. Some of you might know the song, By the Rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept because they felt so far from their promised land and their God. So does God give up on his rebellious people who constantly fail to remember the good things he's done for us, who fail to live in his ways of justice and peace and love? No, 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 not at all. Right from the word go, he's got a plan in his mind of salvation, of redemption. Jesus Christ, his only son, who was sent to die for us. And Romans 3:23 that we just looked at, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, goes on to say, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. So a new covenant, a new agreement was established, a new kingdom, the kingdom of God, an eternal kingdom of justice and peace and joy. Jesus sent, as we heard in our John reading, not to condemn the world, but to save it. So the New Testament of the Bible begins with the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, telling about Jesus' birth, his life of amazing miracles and storytelling, his death and resurrection for us. They're written, says John's Gospel, that we might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. Hallelujah. So eternal life by believing in Jesus, the Son of God. And the next book in the Bible is the Acts of the Apostles, an account of how the Holy Spirit comes on those first followers of Jesus and empowers them and drives them out to go and tell that good news of Jesus Christ across the then known world. And so they preach and they do many miracles, just as Christ, their teacher and Lord, did before them. And next, the epistles, the letters to the churches that were formed as the apostles went out, letters to encourage the new Christians to continue in God's ways, letters that correct and build them up. And so, as Pam read in 2 Timothy, as for you, continue in what you've learnt and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learnt it. How from infancy, many here have known the scriptures from infancy. You've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And all scripture, all of this Bible, is God-breathed and useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that we might be equipped for every good work. And finally, we get to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, a prophetic book about the end of time. God's judgments will come on earth, and Christ's eternal rule and reign will be established. Revelation 21 tells us there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and God will be among the people. They'll be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things will pass away. So God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, will sit on his throne forever and make everything new. And John writes down the words of Revelation as he's told to. He's told they're trustworthy and they're true. And we get to the final verses of the Bible, Revelation 22, 20 and 21. And it says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And it ends with the verse, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. So the Bible is an amazing book from beginning to end. God relating to his people, the Old and the New Testament. One story of God's plan to be reconciled with us, which reaches its fulfillment through Jesus Christ, who died, is risen, and will come again. So the Old Testament constantly points to the New Testament Saviour that will come. So, for example, you may well know those famous verses in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, which is one of the Old Testament prophetic books, which say, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there'll be no end. He'll reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And Jesus himself tells us, everything must be fulfilled that's written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. So all the Bible points to Jesus. So will we read this Bible and let it transform us? Will we let its stories and words so live in our hearts that we, as God's people now, as sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will make him known to the world today? Will we, as Colossians 3:16 says, let the message of Christ dwell among us richly and teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. Will we let the Bible teach us about God's character so we can live in right relationship with him, equipped for every good work, as we heard, living in ways of love that reflect that God of the Bible? If you do read the Bible daily, you'll be amazed at how it speaks to you today. Amazed how words written so long ago can still have power to comfort, to heal, to encourage, to strengthen, to transform. So I pray that we will allow the Bible, God's word, to reveal his character to us day by day, so we can live in right relationship with him and with his world.